It's hard to believe it's been 2 months and a week or so since you guys shoved everything, including the piano, into that truck, and we drove. It does, surprisingly enough. It lost one of those little movable wheels, but it still works. It needs to be tuned, but beyond that, it's hanging in there. It's been 2 months. A little bit of what we've done. Elizabeth and I just kind of finished up a whirlwind tour of helping out our church with VBS, and then there was 3 weeks where we were down working with the Bridgeton Villas, which is kind of the projects in an area that has a lot of government-subsidized housing. And our church is really too far away to be a major part of that effort, but there's a group of churches involved in a ministry called Revive South Jersey. And so they lent me as their intern to just provide the leadership and stability as different churches came in over the 3 weeks. And so it was an encouraging start. It's a small start. I've learned that doing these things certainly takes a lot of time and a lot of willingness to be there and be present and commit. But we praise the Lord for what's happening, and we're looking forward to the future. So you can pray for that ministry and pray for Elizabeth and me now that we'd actually be able to start the internship and settle down and learn from the pastor and his wife. We have enjoyed a little bit that we've done, but it's been kind of a busy first 2 months. So that's kind of a little bit where we've been. Well, let's get to the passage. Please turn to 1 Peter 3:7. I should give a little justification for choosing this passage. Just like Josh and Maggie, it is Elizabeth and my anniversary today. It is our 6th anniversary, and this is a passage about husbands. And so I am preaching the sermon, first of all, for my own instruction. And it's something I do with fear and trembling. It's the first time I've preached on marriage. Now I know there's many of you people who are not married right now. And I want to be sensitive to that. We don't want to, you know, say marriage is the only thing. Every relationship that God has ordained, every position is equally valuable in the kingdom of God. But there's times when husbands or wives need to be addressed. And I think also that there's some basic principles here that we can all learn about respecting and enjoying the differences that God has given us as his people. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Our Holy Father, Son and Spirit, God who is three in one, who is diverse and yet simple in a way that is marvelous and above what we can understand fully, Lord, we come to you now. And we continue our worship by thinking about some of the basic ways that you have created us differently as men and women, Lord. And I pray that you would be glorified as we see this worked out in your church. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin with a story, which I'll tell you in the beginning is not true. But a man asked his wife what she would like for her birthday. And she said, "Oh, I'd love to be 8 again." So on the morning of her birthday, he arose early, made her a nice bowl of Cocoa Puffs, and then off to the local theme park. What a day. He put her on every ride on that park, the death slide, the wall of fear, the screaming monster roller coaster, everything that there was. 5 hours later, she staggered out of the theme park. Her head was reeling, her stomach felt upside down right away. They journeyed to a McDonald's where her loving husband ordered her a Happy Meal with extra fries and a refreshing chocolate shake. Then it was off to the movies, the latest Star Wars epic. A hot dog, popcorn, all the Coke that she could drink, and her favorite, M&M's. What a fabulous adventure. Finally, she wobbled home with her husband and collapsed into bed exhausted. He leaned over his precious wife with a big smile and lovingly asked, "Well, dear, what was it like to be 8 again?" Her eyes slowly dawned with understanding. She said, "I meant my dress size." Have you ever noticed that men and women are just a little bit different? Men think differently. They act differently. They work differently, communicate differently than women. And at least I've found that these differences don't change once you get married. Somehow they actually become more apparent. All right? And there's two things you can do with these differences. You can learn to enjoy them, or they can cause a lot of friction and stress and strife in your marriage. right? As a husband, as the leader, Peter says, instead of looking down as your wife as different and taking advantage of her or complaining about her, he says you are to be attentive to her differences. Enjoy her for who she is and honor her as a woman. So here's the point of the passage today, primarily to men, but also to the rest of you. Husbands, in your marriage, let grace turn gripes into glory. Let grace turn gripes into glory. Let me read the passage and we'll see what that means. It's just one verse after Peter's instruction to the wives. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. This is God's word. So we're going to look at three things today. This idea of grace, the gripes that can sometimes come from differences, and the glory that happens when God's grace is working out in our lives. And I first want us to start with the messy stuff. Okay, some of the differences that can cause the friction, the pain, the gripes in our lives. And Peter here is talking to husbands, and he calls attention to the way that women are different. Now, there would be many ways that we could call men's differences, right? Things that might bother the women's. I'm not saying that's not there. But here, Peter's talking about the things that men might say, man, I'm not quite sure if I like that. And so he says, live with understanding with your wives, first as the weaker vessel, who is a woman. Right? Women are the weaker vessels, and Peter says they're the feminine ones, the women ones. There's actually two ideas here. So women are more vulnerable, but then he also says women also have a different makeup. They're a little different from you guys. That's what it means to be feminine. Now, I know when we say that women are the weaker vessels, that's stepping out into a little bit of a minefield. And I'm not going to take much time here to backtrack, but let me clarify. I am not saying that because women are different from men, they are inferior. They're less capable, less competent. I know some girls here can throw a pretty wicked dodgeball. Okay, there's a lot of excellence that goes on in women. That's not anything that Peter is saying here. In fact, there's many times that men have treated women as inferior because they're different. And in response, women have sometimes suppressed or tried to eliminate those differences, creating quite a mess, right? But Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is bold enough to point out, we're different. And one of these things is physical. What does it mean that women are the weaker vessel? Well, let me give you an illustration. When Elizabeth and I moved to New Jersey, it was the men who lifted the piano, right? Don't get me wrong. There are some women who I would not want to meet in a dark alley. I've seen them in the military, okay? There are women who could definitely lift that piano. But generally, God's providence, he's made the men who are stronger, both when it comes to brute strength and it's sometimes endurances. And there's other things physically, too. You know, isn't it interesting how men and women usually have different tolerances or different preferences when it comes to temperature? Husbands, you might know something about that. It can lead to some interesting marriage dynamics. You can attest to other physical differences. Another one that's important that is really a positive for women, God's created them to be the bearers of life, which is probably the reason why they are weaker. And that means that women are certainly the weaker vessel when they're pregnant. They need to be cared for. That also, of course, affects that time of the month. And what Peter's talking here is that there is a definite physical difference where women are weaker. That's the first idea. You know, it's important to recognize that. There's a lot of movies and TV shows that just show men and women going head-to-head and all kinds of combat. Really is not realistic. Or sometimes you see that in the superhero stories. And we blur that distinction, which Peter says it's important to recognize. But there's another difference, which is really important. Girls, women, are feminine. This is a hard passage to translate, but when he says live with your wives, it literally says showing honor to the weaker vessel, the womanly one. And it's an interesting word. It only happens, occurs once in the New Testament. It seems to be pointing out, though, the difference of who she is as a woman. And Skip Smith told me an illustration that just underscores this beautifully, some of this differences between men and women in personality. If you know Skip, he was into hockey. He had twins, a boy and a girl, and he coached the boys' teams. With his sons were involved, and then his girl got into hockey. And so at some point, he switched over to coaching his daughter's league, and her team was good. Those girls were the best in the league. But one game, they started to get careless, you know, sloppy. They're just playing a little bit below their level. And Skip and his friend who were coaching said, we need to nip this in the bud. So they called all the girls in, and they did exactly what they would do for their boys' team. Some of you guys in sports might know the routine. The coach starts to pace a little bit. He turns to the girls and says, "You girls are pathetic. You stink." He said, "You are the worst team in the league. Today your shots were off. Your passing was shoddy. Your teamwork was non-existent. You've got a long road to go before you're any good." And he goes calling them out. He says, "You need to shape up and start acting like a team." Now, you guys know how in the locker room you would respond. If the coach was doing it in a way that wasn't breaking your back, you'd say, "Oh, no, coach. You got us wrong. You think we stink? Just watch our next game. We will destroy the competition, and we will shut your mouth." It's right, coach. Right? That's, you know, that's kind of this why it works. Well, how did it go with the girls? I believe the word Skip used was train wreck. Right? And Mr. Smith, if we're so pathetic, why do you want to be our coach? And so Skip and his friend went out of the room and regrouped and said, "What just happened?" And they had to go back and do damage control. "No, no, no, you're not that bad." But they went on to win their league that year. And the girls went back and said, "See, Mr. Smith, we weren't that bad, were we?" It's not hard to spot the differences, isn't it? Men are task-oriented, and they often need and even respect and expect a slap upside the head. And you can get in their face and call them names, and sometimes we're the better for it. Women are keyed into relationships, interpersonal communication. They're often much more sensitive, not often motivated by people screaming in their face. At least that's been my experience in my marriage. Right? God's made them more expressive, more emotional, which can include sometimes emotional breakdowns, right? And so, husbands, your wife's a lot different from you. She's going to be interested in things that you are not. She's going to light up when she has girl time with the ladies, which is frankly something beautiful and wonderful, and I still don't have a clue about what happens. But it's good. And she'll probably care about your anniversary and your romance more than you will. And there are going to be all these differences, and every year for your marriage, you could probably add about a page to the list of differences. And these can be humorous, but in our sinful world, we usually act to differences and strife in a different way. Isn't that the case? I mean, husbands, isn't it the knee-jerk reaction, the sinful reaction, when you see your wife as something, she's different, it's causing friction, to just look down on her, to complain either to her or to your friends, or to use that phrase, you know, "Why can't a woman be more like a man?" Right? Why can't a woman be more like... There's a good reason for that, but that's the sinful tendency. And I subscribe to a joke list. I like jokes. And I think out of all the jokes that I've heard on marriage, there's been maybe one or two that are neutral at best. And the rest are negative to downright acerbic. And I've read some of these jokes that come in different categories, and it's just sad. And it reflects the destructive way that we as sinful people view our relationships today when we see these differences, and we really just tear each other apart from. That's what you see. Women are often dishonored today and devalued as lifelong marriage partners. And so it's good to stop and ask yourself, you know, husbands, how do you respond to the friction that can be caused by differences that God has put in your spouse when she's different from you. Do you ever look down on your wife, or do you get bitter or frustrated because she's not like you? Well, that brings us to our second point, though, is the grace of God. See, God's grace, Peter says, puts a much different perspective on marriage. You know, most people, when they look about relationships today, it's already even hard to say marriage in our society, but relationships and whether they're married or not is about your individual needs, about self-fulfillment. Is this person meeting what I need? Which is why it can be so hard to get angry at, so easy to get angry at someone when they're different, because then it doesn't seem like they're meeting your needs. Well, Peter ups the ante about the meaning of marriage. He says, husbands, this momentary marriage of yours is directly related to God's work in your life. And Peter wants you to know that you are your relationship with your wife is one of an equal recipient of the grace of life. You are partners in grace. Look at the text again. See how Peter describes this. First of all, he gives a reason why we're going to get to how you're supposed to be understanding. But let's go to the reason first. The reason why you're supposed to be understanding is because your wife is an heir with you, co-heirs of the inheritance of grace. Peter's saying here that, she's not just your household help, right? She's not just your partner. She is literally an heir together with you of the grace of life. Peter, and when he talks about grace, is the whole reality of the Christian life working with you. And look, Peter says she's gotten the same grace. She is looking for the same salvation as you are. And think about that, what that means. It means that your wife and all of her differences are just as important to you or to God as you are. She is equal with you. She's your co-heir in grace. There's another reason, though. Peter says you are to understand and honor your wife so that your prayers may not be hindered. There's a purpose. Peter's getting at what this grace means in your married life. But the reason that you should treat your wife with understanding and honor is so that your prayers may not be hindered. The prayers here is a plural thing. It's the both of you praying together. Basically, Peter's saying, you husbands and wives are a team that's praying together. The only time prayers are used in 1 Peter besides this time, or another time that's quite significant, is when Peter says in chapter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. See, it's the same thing in marriage. Husband and wife working together to glorify God, realizing that this marriage is much more than just about them, although there's many blessings that come from it. Right? And that means that in God's eyes, your wife is just not your equal, she's your partner. And all those differences that she has, all of those things that are hard for you to understand, are actually gifts that God has given you so that you can help. She can help you carry out your task of serving him. Elizabeth and I was attracted to Elizabeth because I realized how many things we had in common. When we got married, I realized how different we were. And the next 6 years have been learning to try to understand and appreciate those differences. So Peter says, because you are partners in grace, therefore, instead of complaining or becoming frustrated with your wife's differences, Peter says, do the exact opposite. He says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And I remember before I was married, I had a friend who was Robert Teisinger. He was a sergeant, and I was a contractor, and we were kind of each other's accountability buddies, and he was calling his fiance. And he was expressing his frustration. Now, here I am in a hot booth, I'm calling her, and I'm getting up early to do this, and she's in her air-conditioned apartment, and she's complaining. I said, Ty, Katrina's not a guy, Ty. You gotta treat her differently. Well, it's a lot easier to say that when you're you're on the outside. But Peter says, live with your wives in an understanding way. Those little words, live with, it means to dwell with, to cohabit. It's the term that's often used back then for a husband and wife who spend their whole lives together. It's talking about everything from the social to the sexual. You are there with each other in that bond for the rest of your life. And he says, live with them in an understanding way. That's a good translation, an understanding way. The phrase literally means according to knowledge. The idea is that you know how to live with your woman. It's an idea that's not just knowing facts about her, right? What it is, who she is, what makes her tick, but also wisdom to know how to best live with her and how to love her. You know, husbands, your wife is a wonderful, complex woman. God's given her to you to know her better, to understand her better. Now, when we talk about differences, it's certainly true that your wife is a sinner, and there's many things in these differences that quite honestly won't be pleasant, just like there are in your own life. But God has also given you this woman so that you can learn how to love her and help her grow in grace. And part of even your wife's struggles is a way of God giving you a chance as a leader to learn how to love and help your wife grow. All these things, God says, study your wife, know your wife, know how to live with her in an understanding way. Now, it's interesting, men pay all kinds of attention to a lot of different things. We're very good at looking at sports and computers, cars, fantasy football leagues, sometimes it's business investments, these hobbies that are things that we turn over in great detail and study with great fascination and kind of just get into our psyche. Peter says here, do the same thing with your wife. Husbands, do you remember the first time you met your bride, before she was married, before you're married, and or maybe the time that you knew that she was the one, right? You'd spend countless man hours uncovering all the new delightful facts about your sweetheart, right? Every revelation would be a treasure. It was special. Well, Peter says if you're going to live with your wives in an understanding way, then this discovery doesn't stop once you get married. And perhaps husbands, you've kind of lost that habit of getting to know your bride better. Peter's reminding you here, live with your wives in an understanding way. That's what this grace that God has given you calls you not to disdain the differences, but to see that they are so much better. And that leads us to the last point. Instead of complaining and griping about the differences that God has given us, Peter says it turns it into glory. And there's twofold. First of all, it says, husbands, you should honor your wife and give her glory. But we'll see also in doing so, you fulfill a task of bringing honor to God. Peter here clearly commands husbands to honor his wife, right? He says, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor. This is actually a pretty strong word. Okay, some translations say showing respect. I like the idea of showing honor. In chapter 2:17, Peter commands honor to everyone, but especially the emperor. When they talked about honor back then, it was talking about giving honor to someone who was important, like a patriarch or a church elder. It says you're supposed to put your wife in a position that shows that she is important. And that starts with knowing that she's living with her in an understanding way, right? If you're noticing who your wife is, if you're paying attention to her, if you're loving her like that, she's going to see that you value her. But Peter says, go farther with this knowledge. You show her honor by praising her, by appreciating her gifts and who she is as a woman, and by acknowledging the unique gifts that she brings into the family. We read that chapter in Proverbs, right, about that wonderful woman that says her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. And my last semester in seminary, I read a lot of books by feminists for one of my one of my papers. And, well, of course, I would part ways in a lot of things. And they made the point that a lot of times, you know, women were not given their due acknowledgement for the contributions that they've made. And husbands, when it comes to your marriage, it's your job to make sure that your wife knows that she's not only loved, but that she's special. She's honored. She's valued and cared for. And as you note the differences, as you make it a habit in rejoicing in those things that make her her, and you learn to point out those things, it'll show her honor. And that is so very different from the terrible attitudes that we have today, that as the woman becomes less and less valuable as she goes on in the marriage. I mean, you've probably heard just the nasty expression that you trade a woman in for a newer model, right? I mean, it's just, again, that idea that a woman is demeaned as she goes on and further. Peter says it's the exact opposite. As you increase in your marriage, as you know your wife better and better, you can cherish her and put her on a higher and a higher pedestal in a good way and show her how valued she is. Well, there's glory because it brings glory to the wife, but also, Peter says, there's a greater glory at stake. Now, at the very beginning of this verse, Peter says, likewise, or in the same way. And he's referring back to instructions that started at chapter 2, how Christians are to relate to different people, both outside the church and inside the church. And he says this in chapter 2, verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles," which be unbelievers, "honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation." Peter's saying, look, you're different from the people around you. You have a living hope in you. Jesus risen inside of you. And your life is to demonstrate to your neighbors God's work inside of you. And husbands, that includes the way that you treat your wives. And I'll tell you what, God is glorified when two sinful people demonstrate to the world that you are pilgrims and strangers living for Jesus, and you don't hate each other or gripe about the differences between man and wife, but instead you rejoice in your differences. You celebrate them as wonderful gifts from God. When two people can look at each other and say, yes, you are different from me, but God gave me to you, and because of that, I treasure you. That's a powerful picture. You know, we live in a culture which really does have some very different and unbiblical ideas of gender differences. But I think the way to witness God's plan for our gender differences is not to stand on a picket line with signs that say God hates fags or something like that, but in our lives to show how we respect and rejoice in the different genders and their relationships and invite Christians into our lives, or unbelievers into our lives, and show them at a very local and loving level what it means for those different genders to work together. And in this way, you form a small picture of the church, right, where everyone lives prayerfully, everyone has different gifts, and the different people of the body put it into action. Peter says in chapter 4, verse 10, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace." And isn't that what we're to do in our marriage? Husbands and wives, we have differences and different gifts that God has given us. And we use them as we're partners in grace and living that out. And when that happens, you can truly say that grace turns gripes into glory. Let's pray. Lord, I confess as a husband, there's many times that I have looked down on my dear wife because she's different or I don't understand her. Lord, I pray that you would give all of us a fresh reminder of the grace that you've given to your church and what that means for our individual relationships and also for marriage, Lord. Give the husbands here grace and love and the ability to notice the gifts that you have given them in their wives, to cherish them, to set them apart as valuable and important. And we pray that we would, Lord, be to a watching world a sign, strangers and aliens who are living out the grace of Jesus in our lives. And we pray this for his sake. Amen.